Dogs are bark.
All right. So we are going through this journey, and today's Bible study is what got us even excited and going about this whole chapter about the battles. So for the last 3 months, we have been preparing each other, and I thought we were going to go straight into this study. Honestly, I thought that this was going to be the first study, but somehow God changed things around, and it was time for us to really surrender and say, God, do whatever you want to do. If you want to take us through, the battle of obedience, let it be. If you want to take us through the battle of Joshua versus Joshua, that I'm just going to be secure in who I am in God, and I'm not going to compare myself to Moses, to anyone else, then let it be. If it's the battle of crossing the Jordan, sending the spies, doing all these things, whatever it is, Lord Jesus, you do what you want to do. My own plans were to start the battles with this chapter. My own plans, our own plans, the things that got our attention, seeing the big walls coming down, seeing that victory, but we forgot about the preparation work and what God had to do in our hearts, in their hearts, in all of our hearts, because we want the highlights. I don't know about you, I want the big highlight. I want the slam dunk. I want the things that will make it to ESPN and Sports Center at night. But like, circumcision, that's not something that I was accounting for. Checking my heart, checking the flesh, all of that. No, let's just get to Jericho. We're already your children. We already gave our lives to you. Let's just get to Jericho. But we see that the Lord has a lot more for us. And as we surrender ourselves, the word surrender has been a very famous word in our lives lately. Just surrendering to God, not committing, just surrendering to God. So it means something to us. And as we surrender to God, we see that He's doing a lot more than we thought. It's a lot more than just walls coming down. It's a lot more than the walls of the enemies coming down. There are walls in our lives. There are walls in our hearts. There are things in our eyes that need to come down, and we need to see what God has for us. We see that after they and this stuck with me for the last few weeks, that after they crossed the Jordan, great victory, great thing just happened to them. Time to celebrate. Nope. Time to circumcise the heart. Time for heart circumcision, time for some pain, time for to put the flesh in check, time for you to realize that you still have something in you. You crossed to the other Jordan, but what we're trying to do, as we took the man out of Egypt, we got to take Egypt out of the man, right? We got to take the world out of you. We got to put that flesh under control. We got to celebrate the Passover. We got to remember what God has done for us. We got to remember the cross. We got to remember that night that the blood saved us. We have to remember that. And then the angel of the Lord appears to Joshua as Joshua's close to Jericho, and we see that Joshua falls on his face and listens and asks, "What word does the Lord have for me?" And we see him that we see that we hear Jesus in this telling Joshua, "I'm not here for you. I'm not here for them. I'm here to do the Father's will." Very, very familiar to the things that he said when he was here on earth, that I am here as the commander of God's army. And this was an eye-opener for us and for me personally, that listen, I am not going to ask God to change who he is to go with me into my plans, but no, God is going to change me for me to walk into his plans. That's a big difference. We saw about the provision. We saw that when they left Egypt, they were holding tight to the physical provision. They were holding tight to the dough, and then in the wilderness, they saw that they looked up for the provisions that was coming from God. They looked at God as the provider. And then now that they walk into the promised land, God is their provision. It's not the dough that be brought with them. It's not the manna that was coming from heaven. It's God Himself that's the provision. That's all the way to chapter 5. I You know, I am telling you, really, I felt such when I was reading this, and on Monday and yesterday, I'm like, really? I wanted to jump straight to that. I mean, it's amazing and it's exciting, but I would have missed out on so much that God has for us. You know, those little details, those little things, it's written in the Word of God. It's written, it's there, and it's there for a reason. And its role, what God intended for it to do, is to change me and it changed my heart. Today we'll start with Jericho, and we'll start with chapter 6, verse 1.
And why don't we just read first, and we're going to read from verse 1. We're going to go to verse 7 today, hopefully. And it says, "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barriered because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in.' So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it.' And he ordered the army, 'Advance, march around the city with the armed guards going ahead to the ark of the Lord.'" So we thought, today we're going to have a little bit of history, not a ton, promise, but we have a visual. Hold on. Here we go. Can everyone see that? You're good? Okay.
Looks
fantastic.
Like hamburger.
Because we were talking about hamburgers. Okay. This is a 3D rendering, a 3D reconstructive rendering, which, by the way, is a very cool sort of up and coming industry that has become, that through archaeological advancements, things that they found through archaeology and other discoveries and expeditions, that there's this ability to render what something may have looked like. And this is a 3D rendering of Jericho, based on a lot of very, very specific, we won't get into it, but a lot of really, really specific pieces of evidence that were discovered through many, many expeditions that happened around the late 80s, early 90s. Okay. This is where modern day West Bank, Palestine is. It's about 18 miles west of Jerusalem, and east of the Jordan River. If you see here in the picture surrounding it, you could kind of see modern Jericho in many parts, right? Jericho, it's not Jericho, but the modern area, you see the roads. This is almost precisely where they believe the city and the city walls were. Jericho is one of the first times, it actually is the first time in the Word of God where we hear about a walled city. I mean, even Egypt, which was a mighty, mighty country, did not have a walled city. They had really become advanced in building beyond building monuments. Now there was a need to build something that really built a structure of protection around a city. Now, one thing that you don't see in this rendering is that Jericho was actually really, really full. It was a luscious land. The land around it, if you can tell, still today is farmed. And that's because there's a lot of great irrigation in this area. Because of this group of people really sort of advanced in farming, where it was much more of a like hunter-gatherer societies around them, they had really found a lot of advancements in farming. And so with that, they wanted to kind of keep that to themselves. And part of what they did was build these massive walls. You'll see there are two walls in the rendering here. These walls, they believe, were about 8 to 10 feet wide. Can you imagine? 8 to 10 feet wide. I mean, these were really deep walls. This isn't like a mud wall. This is likely a stone wall that was built. These were stone walls that were built 8 to 10 feet wide, somewhere in the neighborhood of 13 to 20 feet high. If you count the width of the two walls, it's about four stories from the ground level. This was a massive, massive structure. And it's not here in this rendering because many people sort of think that it was there, but don't have exact proof that it was there. But it's believed that there was actually a moat, some kind of moat around that first wall. And there was an additional layer of wall that was sort of built in front of that moat. But there's not enough evidence to prove that, but there was a lot of writing about that. So the wall was this massive thing. I mean, I think sometimes when I've heard the story of the wall falling, I imagined it was like, I don't know, just not this structure of greatness. Can you imagine looking at a four-story building coming down? I mean, this was really a significant structure. So Jericho itself is estimated to be around 8 to 10 acres, housing about 2,000 to 3,000 people. Not as big as I always imagined it either, but the circumference of Jericho, about half a mile, 700 to 800 yards, the circumference around Jericho. So you're looking at about half a mile. And that gives us a lot of great perspective when we think about the times that they went around, especially that last time. They went around seven times, being asked to carry things like the Ark of the Covenant, which was not a light thing to carry for that amount of time. I'm sure around terrain that was rough and not as smooth as we might have it today.
So when I'm, you know, Dina does the history thing, and I'll get you into, you know, Joshua. And when I'm looking at Joshua and the people of Israel or the people of God, and God is telling them, yeah, go ahead, we're going to take this. We're going to take this. The first thing they see, and we hear here that that Jericho was secure, bared because of the Israelites. No one went in and out. So Joshua is looking, and there's this huge walls, as Dina mentioned, and the doors are completely closed. And that's not a very encouraging sight, right? If God is telling you, go and do something, or God is telling you, I have something for you, and then all the doors shut down. Have you ever felt that before? Mm-hmm. You know, that God is telling you, I have this for you. I have this gift, or I have this blessing, or I have this, you know, ministry. I have whatever it is that I have for you. And then you look up and all the doors are literally shut. Have you been there before? I've been there before in many ways, whether spiritually or in business or family or relationships. Like when you reach out to someone trying to reconcile or trying to have some kind of relationship and all doors are shut down. You know, trying to advance in your career, all doors are shut down. Try to do the right thing and all doors are shut down. We've all been there. And you know what? It's written for us right here, because that's what Joshua and the people of Israel found and saw. God is calling and telling them, go ahead and claim it. Claim your territory. Claim your promises. Claim the promised land. And I look up and I'm like, where is it? Which one is it? Because this looks very, very difficult. So if you're in that place, it's okay. Joshua was there. The people of God were there too. And God delivered it, okay? So a few weeks ago, we talked about the circumcision of the heart. So while the circumcision of the heart was facing and defeating the flesh, Jericho is facing and defeating the world and its attraction. This city was very much like a vineyard. Kings lived there. Very wealthy people lived there. There are trades. There are a lot of, you know, economic things and economic powers there. and God is calling them to defeat it. In verse 2, we talked about that God, the walls are secure. We talked about that the answer for the questions we have is in the revelation. We talked about Joshua having that encounter with Jesus, right? The same encounter you and I are looking for, the encounter that will require us to take a few steps forward, the encounter that will require us to be alone and insistent and persistent with God. And now there is an answer in that revelation. It says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings and its fighting men.'" You know, I want you to highlight the word "see." If you have your Bible or write it down or just remember that word. See, I have delivered, you know. So if I'm Joshua, I'm like, what I'm seeing is these big walls. I'm seeing the shut doors. I'm seeing everything is closed, you know, in my face. That's what I'm seeing. But God, when the word "see" comes from God, the Lord isn't asking Joshua to tell him what he's seeing with his human eye. The Lord is asking us to see through his eyes what he is seeing, okay? It's a big difference when Gehazi and Elisha are looking at the armies. Gehazi is looking at the armies of the King Aram, and he's looking at 50,000 or 100,000, whatever, however many they were, and he is terrified, right? Terrified because he's seeing this huge army. But Elisha is looking, and yes, he's seeing that King Aram's army, but he's also seeing the armies of the Lord. He's seeing hundreds and hundreds of thousands. And he tells them, "Look, what we have with us is more than what they have with them." You know, yes, they have forces, they have armies, but there is something else that Elisha was seeing. My prayer is that you see what the Lord is saying, that I would see what the Lord is seeing today. You know, in Hebrews 11, it says, "Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see." We cannot see with our human eyes, but we can see with our spiritual eyes. The Lord of the Lord tells them, "Do you see?" And the Lord is seeing that Jericho was delivered. It says it right here. It says, "I have delivered Jericho into your hands." It's already been done. It's already been done. I know Pastor Mike will relate to this. Pastor Mike, do you ever watch, do you ever go back to the Lakers championships games, like when they defeat whoever? You and I know the score, right? We know the score. We're not sitting at the edge of our seats like to see if Kobe's going to make the shot or not, or if Robert Ory is going to hit that three or not. We're not. We already know it. We already know they won the game. It's a completely different feeling when you're sitting not knowing whether that ball is going to go in or not, or whether that ball is going to be caught or not, or whether that home run is going to be scored or not, or, you know, because you're in the moment. But when you're looking at that moment from history, like this already happened, you know, God is already looking at this as a replay. I already gave you Jericho. I already gave you this relationship that you've been praying for a long time. I already gave you this job that you've been praying for. I already gave you this freedom that you've been asking for, the deliverance that you've been asking and praying for, that sin that keeps insisting and bugging you and not leaving you alone, that slavery to the flesh that you've been suffering, that all of these things that you've been praying for, I have already given it to you.
Amen.
And all the king of Jericho has been defeated. All the armies that are formed against you are already, they are formed. The weapons are formed. The armies are there. The king is there. The prince of this air or the prince of this world is already there. He's there. There is no, but he is defeated. Mm-hmm. That's what that sea that the Lord is trying to communicate to Joshua. See, I have given you. So the answer to your question, how is it that we're going to bring this down? How is it that we're going to claim Jericho? How is it that we're going to open these doors? How is it? The answer is already there. It's just to see with God's eyes. Also in Hebrews 11:30, it says, by faith, not by armies, not by bombs, not by F-16 or F-22s, not by might, not by power, but by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. Army, they didn't fight? No. They didn't throw rocks at them? Nope. They just marched. They just obeyed. It wasn't the marching that brought the walls down. It wasn't the trumpets that brought the walls down. It was the obedience in faith that brought the walls down.
So let's think about these walls for a second and really how we can apply the image of these walls to us today. There were the people of God, and they were about to enter something that God had promised them, enter a land, that an area of the land that God had specifically promised to them. And what stood in their way were walls. So these walls are an image of what stands in the way between us and the things that God has for us. All right? That's what we're talking about here. And so it's important to sort of understand that, because walls create blindness. They were blind to what was happening on the other side. And walls create fear, because it feels like you can't conquer it. You can't come over it. So really, God is telling us to look at those things that are in our life that are exactly what I just described.
Yeah.
What are the things in our life that the enemy, or maybe us, or maybe the world, has built a wall in front of us to go into or after the thing that God has promised us? And so as we were doing this study today, I was like, whoa, Lord, there are a lot of, you know, maybe not these big massive walls, but there are a lot of walls that the enemy has built in my life, that maybe other people have built in my life, maybe my own stubbornness and sin and hard-headedness have built to keep that are keeping us from getting in to that space that God wants us to be. So let's, as we're going through this study, be thinking of that. Be thinking of, what are those things in my life? What are those things in your life that are standing in the way of us entering into what God has for us?
You know, one of the blessings of having that revelation from God is that you start seeing what God sees. Start seeing and believing what He is seeing. You know, a lot of times we get so stuck on what we see, and we forget what God sees. And we forget, as Dina just said, that we're blind, that things are very dark for us. But you know what? It's God has the complete vision of it. The second thing here is that there is a plan in the revelation. God, in His revelations to us, when He reveals Himself to us, He gives us a plan. Okay? It says, march around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry the trumpet of ram's horn. And in front of the ark, on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, and the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout, and then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up straight in.
I mean, what an unorthodox way to fight a battle. These were people that were ready to use might and strength to go. It was just the assumption God is calling them to take Jericho. And so the assumption is there must be some grand plan. I mean, honestly, when you look at the images of Jericho or what Jericho might have been, it is really impenetrable. Okay. This is not a city you can get into at all. So the people of God must have thought, well, God must have this really incredible plan to get us past this, to get us past this wall. And in fact, the plan was really, really had nothing to do with human strength at all, had nothing to do with human might at all. In fact, and we'll read this probably next week, for the portion of those 6 days, they were asked to stay totally silent. They were asked to not speak. So God is working in this very unorthodox way, unconventional way, as far as they're concerned, to do something that they were believing for. And that just shows me that God does not always work exactly in the way we assume he's going to work. He doesn't always fit into the box that we assume he's going to fit into. We saw that, right? They expected the Messiah to come as a mighty warrior, and he did not. He certainly did not come in that way. And so let's remember that God works really far outside of the scope of imagination that we have.
You know, and God wanted to deliver something to them, that you're going to have so many battles coming your way, okay? And this one is the biggest battle. God wanted to teach him something that's way more important than how to use the sword or how to use the shield. And it is to always look at God and trust in God. That if they win, it's going to be because of God. And if they lose, it's going to be because they left God, you know? So here God is telling them, march around the city once with all the armed men. Have the priest, the Ark of the Covenant, and the priest leading the charge. I mean, this is not really the easiest, you know, plan to deliver. If you're Joshua, this is not the easiest plan or easiest news to go deliver to your people, you know? Like, we're trying to, let's say that we're trying to build a church, you know? We're trying to buy a church and build it, or just buy a big building. So we always think, let's go raise fund, let's talk to, local businesses, let's talk to people and see how we can raise fund. And then Pastor Al comes and say, no, we're just going to have a prayer meeting and we're going to just praise God. But we have a mortgage that we're trying to close. We have something that we have to do. Yeah, we're just going to pray. I mean, but like, shouldn't we get on those one of Christian channels and like ask for people to support our, like, no, we're just going to pray. We're just going to get together. We're going to sing and we're going to have a great time. And maybe we'll walk around, you know, do some exercises, and then God will. It's not an easy thing to say, really. It's not an easy thing as a leader to go and deliver, but that's what God told them. You know, what brought the walls down? Again, there was no military plan. It was the obedience and faith in God. And wouldn't you think that people will be exhausted? So the Jericho, as the city that was that had the walls around it, was about the size of 7 to 8 football fields, you know? And you're asked to walk around it, all of it, once a day, okay? And during that time, when you're walking around, you're looking like, are those archers going to get us? Are those people going to like start, you know, attacking us? Because that's a possibility, right? But now you're learning, instead of looking at the archers, you're looking at God for protection. You know, that's a daily exercise. It wasn't that their feet are being exercised, that it was their hearts that are being exercised. Their fear is being, you know, exercised, that like, no, we're going to put that fear down and we're going to trust that God is our shield, because we're not going to war. We're not going to battle. You know, we're not taking cover. We're walking around the city. We're walking around the walls. What makes us think that those archers are not going to start, you know, hitting us with their arrows? What makes us think that, you know what, I'm going to have to trust God in this? Not only that, but the army, the people who've been training for war, now are taking back seat to the priests with the trumpets and the priests with the Ark of Covenant. That takes a lot of humility. That takes a lot of trust. No, I am the one who's trained to fight. I'm the one who's trained to go to war. I should be up front. Nope, you're going to be in the back. And the people with the trumpets, and we're going to talk about that in a second, are going to be up front. Have seven priests carry the trumpet of ram's horn. See, we see the priests here are being involved, not only included, but leading the crowd, leading the charge. Why these trumpets? These are the trumpets that were used, the Jubilee trumpets. These are not the war trumpets. There are different kinds of trumpets. These ones were the Jubilee. Do you guys remember the name Jubilee? When there is celebration, when there is freedom, when there is a new season, these are the trumpets. These are joyful trumpets. These are not the war trumpets. These are the ones that we're using for this. So they're walking around listening to the noise, to the sound of victory before they see anything. They're proclaiming victory while the huge walls that Dina just talked about, those big walls, are still standing, while the doors are still shut.
Amen.
This is probably one of the hardest things that we can go through and we're asked to do. But once we do it once, we taste it and feel it, trust me, it's going to become addictive. You know, we praise God while the walls are still
up.
Right. It's easy to praise God when the walls come down, you know, but we praise God and we sing and we're giving thanksgiving while the walls are still up.
Trumpets are a symbol of praise, as Asam mentioned. And I don't know about you, but for me, praise is one of those things that really rings in my relationship with the Lord. I know for some people it's prayer, for others it's you know, this sound time into the word. For me, praise is one of those things that really moves my heart towards God. And I find it incredible to praise when a wall is up in my life. That has been my personal experience in the last 20 plus years with the Lord, that when I praise, when there is a wall right in front of me, it is when the greatest level of faith is that I have. And it's typically followed by God doing something incredible. And so this group was asked to praise. And as they praised, if you notice, the trumpets were in front of the Ark of the Covenant, because praise ushers in the presence of God.
Yes.
It ushers in that tangible feeling of the Holy Spirit coming into the room. So when you are reluctant and when you feel like there's very little to pray about and there's very little to do, then your next job is to just lift your hands or fall on your knees or do whatever it is that you do and praise him in the midst of the darkness of the wall.
Yeah.
The wall created darkness in front of them. It was a shadow. So in the midst of that, to freely praise God in whatever that means to you, is to really walk in that act of praise.
You know, and on the seventh day, so every day they're exhausted and they're going back to their families. You know, they're going to their families. Anything happened today? Nope, we just walked. And in the seventh day, and this is not an easy task to keep walking, right? On the seventh day, imagine that size of a place and you're walking around it seven times. At the end of this, I can only imagine how exhausted they were. Can you imagine walking around for hours and hours and just walking? And then you will hear the long blast of the trumpet. The army will give a shout, a loud shout as well. When you hear that very, very loud and different sound, the army will finally shout. That's it? Okay, and then we're going to go attack? Nope. I'm going to bring the walls down, and then you will walk right through it. This means that the army will do nothing until this point. The soldiers had to humble themselves and obey and acknowledge that when it's their turn, to be involved, God will let them know. God will give them a sign. Your sign is when you hear that long, long blast of the trumpet. There is a sign where God will give you, when God will give you something that, you know, it's time to move. It's time to take another step. It's time to take an action. Right now, it's to be still, to obey, to keep walking, to keep praising, to keep trusting that God is your shield. Mm-hmm. The archers are not going to get to you. Your feet are not going to get tired, and you're protected. All the armies around the areas have been put under control because God put fear in their hearts. They will, the wall will collapse without any bombs, without any bulldozers, without anything. The walls will collapse. How? By faith. Because God is in this scene, you know, and the army will go in one by one. God already gave them the victory. I wish it was more dramatic than this, but this is as simple as it can be. You know, not everything has to be with fireworks. God said, just go around and walk around and then praise. That's all God is asking for, and that's all they did. So, but here's the thing. In verse 6, it says, so Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and told them, take up the Ark of Covenant, the presence of God, as we've discussed before, the Lord, and have seven priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. You know, revelation without obedience means nothing. So God spoke those words to Joshua. If Joshua takes these words and does nothing with it, then the walls of Jericho will be standing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what walls do you have, and I don't know what revelations you have from God, you received from God. If we don't act on those revelations, if we don't start moving, and if we don't start obeying one letter at a time, one word at a time, this revelation will not take us anywhere. If Joshua goes and say, no, Lord, sorry, that's not a good plan. No, I need a different plan. Then the walls are going to be there. Then you're going to have to wait, you know, a few thousand years until they invent F-16s and F-22s to go bomb those walls. You know, revelation without obedience really don't mean anything. God is speaking to you and speaking to me. And unless we take that step of faith and obey him, the walls are going to still be there. And many walls are still standing in our lives right now because we have not obeyed.
Mm-hmm.
Or because we missed it. We thought, no, this plan is not good. There is a better plan that I can do. This plan is too simple. They missed it. How many people missed that baby Jesus? How many people missed that rabbi that was going around just preaching, hanging out with people? Watch The Chosen, you know, it will deliver my point here. You know, just going around, being nice to people, eating with people, joking around, then healing and preaching and teaching. They were expecting a mighty warrior, and they missed it. They missed it. You know, something very small God could be speaking to you right now, and it's been missed. And that was what was going to bring the walls down.
We have a role to play in the fight, is what Aslam's getting to. And that role might not be what you think it is. It might not be in might and power and strength. Maybe it's in praise. Maybe it's in silence. Maybe it's in, going after something that God's been telling you to go after, and you don't quite understand why he's asking you to do that, or don't quite understand what it is that he has for you in this thing, and you've been reluctant about it. There is something, a role that we have to play in achieving this getting to this place and seeing these walls come down. And that's not to be looked at with curious eye. It's really meant to be taken very seriously. Because if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about something related to a wall in your life, then be obedient to do that thing, whatever it is no matter how silly it seems or how reluctant you are. I'll tell you a little story. I remember when I had just brand new Christian. I was maybe like 22 or something. And I was at church one day, and there was really something that I had been struggling with. It was really something that God had been revealing from my childhood and past, and something that I was really, really struggling with. And hadn't really found, hadn't gotten past that wall. It was just really in my way, you know? And someone came and preached it was a sort of an ordinary message, if you will. It wasn't anything, you know, mind blowing, but there was something that the preacher said that really struck a nerve with me right towards the end of his prayer. All right. And for some reason he said, I wasn't planning on an altar call today. I wasn't planning to ask people to come forward today, but I sense the Holy Spirit telling me that I need to do that. And as soon as he said that, there was like a still small voice in me that was like, that's for you. There's something that I want you to do. I need you to go forward. And you know, I'm so glad that he did that. And I'm so glad that I went forward that day, because that little bitty act of obedience really was sort of the beginning of this incredible healing in my life that I experienced, that really I'm so thankful for till today. It's something I remember till today. It was a wall in my life. God just needed me to go forward and allow someone else to pray for me, or allow him to do something through someone else. I know that's a very simple example, and some problems are much more complex. But the point here is, find the role that God is calling you to and obey it. Just simply obey. And again, as Asam said, that role might be in silence, and that role might be in just sitting in faith. But whatever it is, I believe that if you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you, he will tonight. If you ask him tonight, Holy Spirit, reveal whatever it is that I need to do to overcome this wall, he'll reveal it to you tonight. So I know we went a little bit over. Sorry about that. We're obviously, the wall hasn't fallen yet, okay? We just have a promise of the wall falling. So it's coming. Know that it's coming. But we're going to stop here tonight, because there's a lot more to dig through with this story. We want to open it up to you. Please share anything you might have to say, any questions you might have. Floor is yours.
You know, one of the things, Asam, as you were talking, you made me think about, is I put myself in the marching group, and I saw myself marching around and kind of looking for openings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of saying, Lord, look, there's an opening here.
Yeah.
Maybe we can attack this way. So I started thinking, you know, maybe as we're marching, am I really trusting?
That's good.
Or am I just going through the motions?
That's excellent.
And I started thinking, I said, and I got to do this for six, 7 days, right? Sometimes 6 hours is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think of the patience you have to have as you trust in the Lord and wait on the Lord. And I was thinking to myself, I said, well, how do you see while the walls are up, or as you guys are saying, how do you see as, you know, I have to just be obedient and march? And one of the things I thought of as you guys were talking, that, you know, we need to stop looking and see if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Stop looking in our own understanding and see. And as you said, Dina, praise really helps us to see, right, through his eyes. Because praise, we're lifting him up. Mm. We're thanking him for who he is, for what he can do, what he can do in our lives. And it just stimulates our faith. So how do we see? It's by praising. So thank you for that.
That's so good. Thank you for that. Thank you.
I can't believe I missed it.
I know, you missed that.
No, this is amazing.
You know, I was thinking also, like, you know, those people that were going around, and all the people that were inside the walls, on the top of the walls,
mm-hmm.
probably they were laughing at them, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They were just mocking at them. It's crazy people, man.
Yeah.
It's like, look at these Christians, you know, like in our times, man. like laughing and mocking and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So what makes us strong is the faith that we have in it, to focus on God, that he is in control. So I said, these guys, they have that, you know, the trust and believe that something is going to happen. So God is faithful. That's a good thing that we know now that he's faithful. So whatever he put in front of us, we have to do it with those eyes that they see him, you know, that he's in control.
Amen.
And don't worry about the rest of it. You just do what you have to do. And that's the rest.
That's right. Amen. So good. Remember, those were the enemies that were... Remember back in chapter 4, towards the end of 5, when it says that the people of the land were scared, were fearful of the people of Israel coming in. I mean, I'm sure they kind of thought at one point when they were watching them, like, this is what we were afraid of here. They're just kind of walking around the wall. Like, what's the big deal? You know, but yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I think it's important to also, like, you mentioned that walls create blindness and fear as some.
Yeah.
But it's important to identify what in my life is a wall. Like, what is the barrier? What is it that I'm looking for? Because sometimes I have envisioned overcoming some of the challenges or obstacles or some of the pain that I'm experiencing in my life, which may not necessarily be a wall.
Right.
So to be able to attack the right target, to be able to see the right path for me, is to distinguish what is the wall, what is the barrier. And maybe this will be some homework for all of us, actually, for next week, to study this a little bit further and come back and go, okay, let me clarify in my own mind what is a wall versus what is the circumstance.
That's a really good point.
Just so that we know what we're attacking, you know?
I think the answer to that is going to be found in, you're right, jumping into this study a little bit more. The way God's revealed it to me was, a wall is something that keeps us, that's keeping us from entering into a promise that God has for us. God has a promise for us in Jericho. He has a promise for the people of Israel in Jericho. And whether this wall is created by us, by others, or by the world, it's keeping us from entering. The example that I shared earlier was, there was a wall that was created in my life because of something that had happened in my past. It had created this barrier for me entering into sort of a different level of my walk, of my faith with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I think that's different than like having a financial challenge, right? Or having, you know, just something come up, you know, dealing with a death or dealing, that's different. Dealing with walls requires us to do a lot more digging in our soul, because it sometimes, especially as Christians, we kind of sit back and like, oh yeah, everything's fine. Is there something that I'm not walking in that God has for me because of a wall that's there that maybe I don't even recognize? So exactly, Pastor Al, I think this is a really good time. I'm glad we're not done with Jericho today. I think it's a really good time to kind of expand on that for next week. And maybe all of us can spend some time with the Lord figuring that out.
But I like how you phrased that, though. A promise that I'm hindered from being able to enter into. That's powerful.
All right, anyone else?
Nope.
All right, if no one has anything else. So, did you pray when we started?
Yes.
Oh, okay. How about Pastor Al? Do you mind praying for us?
Lord, we just thank you because you're taking us on this journey, Lord God, and you're showing us our life in the scriptures. We're not just reading history, but we're reading what you want to do in and through our lives, Lord God. And we just thank you for these examples. We thank you for tonight's teaching. We thank you for opening up the word to us the way that you have. And thank you for reminding us that we're to walk in obedience to the revelation. I pray that you would increase revelation. I pray that you would increase faith, that we would walk in obedience to it. And not to look for the way in or even the way out and to try to help you in any way, but to simply praise you in the process, to simply honor you and to glorify you, not keeping our eyes on the obstacle, but keeping our eyes on you. And teach us what that means and teach us how to do that practically on a day-by-day basis, Lord God. Because we don't want to leave one promise on the table, not received. Mm-hmm. We want the fullness of your blessing because you blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And so we want to tap into that. We want to tap into your peace. We want to tap into your love. We want to tap into your confidence. We want to tap into faith. We want to tap into power. We want all of that, Lord God, because that's our inheritance in you. Most of all, it's sweet fellowship with you. That's the core of it all. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give us the understanding, the openness, the awareness, and the desire, Lord God, to continue to press in, even if we're tired, but to continue walking, yes, to continue praising, because these walls are coming down. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you guys so much.
Amen.
And let's go back to this again, and we'll be back next week, and I know God has more for us.
Yeah, do some soul searching this week. Ready for
it. It's beautiful.
Have a great night.
Thank you guys.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye, Fawaz.
Bye, Fawaz.
Yep.